It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes.
I couldn't hear anything. I was going off of y'all.
Take the visual cues.
Well, welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad of Some would back. Myself, Rob, Ice, no whole ass Brennan.
Mm-mm.
He's off. Can we say what happened? Can we say?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, yeah.
Little baby.
He got his second vid shot, and he's feeling a little tuckered out, I guess.
He's taking it safe. He's playing it safe.
You know, he got his second shot, and he wants to be safe out there in these streets. He might be a little under the weather. I don't know. His little tummy hurts.
Sipping some ginger ale on the couch right now. His bowl of soup.
Why is ginger ale the go-to to being sick? The shit don't even got even ginger in it. It's just.
I was reading recently that it makes it worse. Apparently,
yeah.
It will not help at all.
Yeah, if you're not, because
it's a placebo.
Yeah, ginger ale in general doesn't. The majority of them don't have ginger in it, or has so little ginger that it means nothing. And I know for us, especially as black people, we were like, take some of that ginger ale. I had chicken pox. My mom was like, take some ginger ale. I was like, for chicken pox? The fuck
What is that gonna do?
Huh?
And people just be out here drinking, like the people who drink ginger ale for recreation. I feel like a fucking psychos. Like,
yeah, I could see that.
You just out here just drinking ginger ale. Nothing's wrong with you. You just like, yeah. You get this 18 pack of ginger ale.
Syrup. Well, you know what we do on this podcast. We talk our shit, do one-offs, debate. This is what we do on here, man. And this week we're finishing up my big Jujutsu Kaisen episodes 21 through 24.
I
hear you. Sure. 21 through 24. You know, and yeah, man, this is what we're going to do. Let's just jump into it, man. Let's get started.
Get that recap going. Here we go.
Well, so Rob's recap.
Bitch ass Brennan not here, so I don't have to do no tricks or nothing
gonna
like
hide
that.
It.
That's true.
You're listening or watching or both to the greatest fucking anime podcast.
Where?
In the entire world.
Okay.
All right.
We got it.
Rob's recap.
All right. Episode 21, leaving the Jujutsu campus underground. Curse user Haruta is complaining, hey, I didn't get to do anything during that whole fight. When a very injured Hanami drops down right in front of him, and he's just like, I'm going to put this curse right out of his misery. When Mahito appears and tells him, like, don't forget who you are. Like, don't overstep your boundary. Like, you are just a human. You are not somebody that can just be calling that kind of shot. So, despite their injuries, the curses, they got what they came for. The school's Sukuna fingers, as well as three special grade curse wombs that the school had stored in their vaults. And in a quick flashback, we see, you know, their plan to use Mahito's curse energy that he left on the Sukuna finger, found at Junpei's house. You know, they left it on there so that they could track it no matter where it was hidden at the school. But Geto says, you know, listen, that's our plan. We're just getting the stuff and getting out. We're not here to capture Gojo. We're not here to activate Sukuna. You know, we're saving all that for the big event on October 31st. So the Jujutsu sorcerers on the other side, they're taking stock of their dead and wondering how the curses got past their school's protective borders. And Gojo points out, you know, the protective veil that's put in place by this immortal Jujutsu sorcerer we never see or hear from, but it's really only there to hide the location. It doesn't keep people out, but especially not plants like Hanami. So they decide to just keep what they've learned a secret, but the only information they've really been able to get out of Juzo, the one curse user they captured, is that the monk that he was working with, some monk with white hair that promised him that, you know, you can turn Gojo into a coat rack, but that the monk's description doesn't sound familiar to any of them. So some are ready to just cancel the rest of the inner school competition, but Gojo thinks, you know, we should talk to the students. What do they want to do? And as they're healing up, Yuji is trying to dodge his clingy new best friend, Toto, who he thinks he might have overcommitted to a little bit. But the students all agree, you know, that they should continue the event. So instead of individual fighting, they all you know, put a bunch of challenges into a hat, basically, and pull it out, and Gojo had, seems like it, you rigged it to be a baseball game. In the end, we get some funny moments with each of the characters, but we also get to see some of their dynamics change. For instance, when Noritoshi goes up to bat, he asks Yuji, you know, who's playing catcher, you know, why does he want to become a sorcerer? And Yuji says, you know, I want to save as many people as possible, so I'll be less lonely when I die. And it's the exact same reason Noritoshi's mother told him to become a sorcerer. And we see him starting to soften a little bit towards his perceived enemy. Yuji also realizes that everybody absolutely hates Todo when Maki purposely hits him with a pitch, and everybody just compliments her. Nice pitch.
Loved it.
So funny. Outside the game, the Tokyo principal asks the Kyoto principal, you know, if he still hates Yuji, and Yoshinobu says, I don't hate Yuji, but he's Sukuna's vessel, and that goes against our jujutsu laws, and he could be dangerous. And Masamichi points out, you know, he's also saved lives already, and argues, you know, we should just keep an eye on him for now rather than do something drastic that we could regret later. And as he's talking, we see him thinking about Geto, who now works with the curses, so there might be some connection between the two. As they finish their talk, Yuji hits a home run, and the Tokyo school wins the inter-school event for the second year in a row, at least that we know of. Next episode starts with the man yelling at his landlord about his broken automatic doors, but as he does, the lights flicker and a curse enters behind him, and we cut right from that to Yuji, Megumi, and Nobara getting briefed on that man's suspicious murder, made even more suspicious by the fact that there are two others exactly like it. Akari, one of the Jutsu school's faculty that we're just meeting, explains each of the three died after complaining about their doors malfunctioning, and they all went to the same high school, so she's driving the kids to go meet a common friend they all shared, but unfortunately when they arrive they find this fourth friend has also been murdered in the same fashion. So they decide to go to the high school and just figure out straight from the source what's been going on. They find out from a couple students there that actually it's Megumi's old high school as well, and he made a reputation for himself for beating up bullies. They track down a staff member there, and Megumi asks him for some clues. You know, he tells him about the haunted bridge that kids bungee jump off of to prove that they're brave. And he mentions 20 years ago, some of the kids that have, you know, showed up murdered, you know, they all disappeared one night and were found underneath the bridge, but none of them remembered anything that happened. So the man asks Megumi, you know, hey, how's your older sister Sumiki holding up? And he just says, you know, she's fine. And the others are shocked that he's just never revealed that he has a sibling at all. He's just kept very tight-lipped about his whole past. Elsewhere, Mahito and Geto look over the special grade cursed wombs they stole from the school, and Geto's explaining, you know, we can bring these curses back to life if we feed them to a new vessel. And they immediately feed one to this terrified man that's just nailed to the wall, and he starts to transform. And when the curse emerges, Mahito says he's got a mission for it. Back in town, the Jujutsu sorcerers check out the bridge, don't find anything out of the ordinary, and they're talking about what to do next, and another classmate shows up, you know, and says she's worried because she went under the bridge and is now experiencing some paranormal activity. They lie to her to comfort her, you know, it's nothing serious, but when they find out, you know, they get really concerned when they find out that one of the friends that she went with was Megumi's sister. So Akari takes the scared girl home while Megumi calls up Kiyotaka, one of the other staff members, to get his sister a bodyguard, protect her from the curse. But he warns, you know, this curse might be stronger than we realize, and maybe you guys should get out of there. But Megumi can't leave his sister in danger. He even tells Nobara and Yuji to go back to school. He wants to face this on his own. But as he heads to the bridge, you know, Akari confirms over the phone that, you know, the victims don't bungee jump off the bridge, but rather walk underneath it, and that's how you enter the cursed domain that's been set up. But once he arrives, of course, Yuji Nobara couldn't leave him behind, and they back him up. So, you know, he also tells them, you know, once they have, he shows that he sees that he's got their support, that, you know, his sister is bedridden, essentially in a coma, most likely from a totally unrelated curse. But because this one could appear at any time, he has to make sure it's taken out right away. So they cross under the bridge and they see this cursed spirit that they've been chasing. But before they can even engage, the curse womb, Kechizu, appears behind them, following Mahito's orders. And Yuji's just like, I got this guy. You guys take this dude out from under the bridge. So he starts going in on Kechizu while that guy's trying to, you know, spit like poison blood on him. Nobara and Megumi are taking out the bridge curse like whack-a-mole style with all these different heads that keep popping up until Nobara is yet again grabbed by some arm on the other side of a portal and dragged in through the other side. And it's this guy named Esso. And, you know, so Yuji follows after her while Megumi stays behind to finish off the bridge curse.
I like how Megumi was just like, again?
almost every fight, she gets dragged off somewhere by something through some kind of portal. In this new location, Esso realizes, you know, Nobara is not what he was sent to look for, and says, hey, you can just go, basically. I was sent here to look for Sukuna's fingers, so you just go on your merry way. But under the bridge, Megumi finds the main body of the curse haunting the area, and it's another one of the special curses that formed around the Sukuna Fingers, exactly looking like the same one that they saw at the detention center. And in that moment, he realizes all the timing is connected to when Yuji started eating these fingers, and that's what's reactivated Sukuna's powers and, you know, why these things are starting to show up all of a sudden. As the fight begins, Megumi is losing hard off the bat. And thinks back to a conversation he had with Gojo, and he had told him, like, during the baseball game, I noticed you made a sacrifice bunt, and that's great for a team sport like baseball, but Jujutsu sorcerers are individuals, and you got to be greedier. You know, you don't go for the sacrifice bunt on these things. The only way you can reach your full potential is if you try to go for a home run. You need to be greedier.
I think that was great advice, too.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I think that was a great piece and way to make the filler worth it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, awakening back in the fight, Megumi goes all out and is able to activate his own cursed domain of shadow. Hands rise up from the ground and hold the curses down as Megumi just strikes out, and his shadow animals are just attacking relentlessly, and eventually his wolf puts a hole right through the cursed chest and destroys it, and the fight is over. Megumi grabs the Sukuna finger and just, you know, collapses. And somewhere else, Sukuna senses this and is very pleased by this development. In another flashback, we kind of see Megumi, you know, talking through his history with his stepsister, Sumiki, and how they didn't really get along because he thought she was weak for basically being a good person and forgiving bad people. Their parents had hooked up and then basically disappeared. And they only had each other until Gojo showed up and explained that Megumi's dad is from the Zenin clan. So Megumi didn't really join the sorcerers until his sister basically was mysteriously cursed by this thing that keeps her bedridden in the ninth grade, and she fell into a coma. So he thinks of her and, you know, promises when he wakes back up and they can reconnect, he won't be such a dick, and just passes out. So elsewhere, Esso tries to run from Nobara without showing his back, but Yuji, chasing after Kechizu, sees it, and he just flips out. On his back is this gross-looking face, and he promises to kill them both for seeing it while sprouting these, like, blood wings from this thing's, like, gross eyes. Last episode, Yuji and Nobara run for their lives, but Kechizu catches up to them and is able to hit them both with the poison blood spit. When Esso arrives, he activates his own curse technique, and the two Jujutsu sorcerers become completely covered in these, like, rose tattoos. And the technique will cause them to just rot away, and nothing will be left of them by morning. In a cutaway, the voiceover explains that these three cursed womb spirits are born from ancient times when a woman who could give birth to cursed spirits was forced to be impregnated and aborted several times by this disgraced Jujutsu sorcerer. Side note, did you catch the guy's last name is Noritoshi? So he's got to be related to that guy that we've already met from the Kyoto school. So
yeah.
Might be something dubious about him. Her hate and resentment turned her unborn children into these three monsters, and they, along with their eldest brother, Chozo, they're extremely close and just see each other all as one. Back at the fight, Nobara finds a way around the technique, though, using herself as a voodoo doll and the curse's blood as the connection. She's just pounding nails through her own arm to cause pain on the curse brothers.
I told you she's dope, man. She's dope as hell, bro.
You called it from the start. You called it from the jump.
I was watching this like, oh, here go Keen. I heard. I was like, this is Keen's moment right
I
here.
Was like, hell yeah.
Invested early. Saying she'll keep doing it until they release the curses, she just keeps, you know, pounding nails into her arm. And Esso thinks he can hold out. But Yuji, who's hardly impaired by these poisons because of his connection with Sukuna, starts to beat the brakes off of Kechizu.
Man.
Esso rushes in to try to save his brother, but Yuji and Nobara switch it up, and Esso is forced to release his decay curse to be able to fight Yuji with his full strength. However, as they both fight, Nobara and Yuji are able to land black flash techniques, each of them, and Nobara puts the final nail in Kechizu, literally, and explodes it with her technique, just outright killing the curse.
Nail in a coffin.
Already having trouble against just Yuji, Esso just tries to run, hopping on a passing truck. Unluckily for him, though, Yuji took off his arm with the black flash, and that's enough for Nobara to use another one of her straw doll techniques, and she lands a blow when he's distracted. And it's enough for Yuji to land a devastating punch that kills him as well. Elsewhere, Chozo, their last remaining brother, literally playing the game of life with Geto and Mahito, feels his brothers have been killed. On their way back to Megumi, Yuji asks Nobara, like, hey, have you ever killed anybody before tonight? And she's just like, no, but she doesn't really feel bad. You know, you can't save everybody. The bodies that those curses took over, they couldn't come back. They their hands were tied. But as always, the deaths lie heavily on Yuji. So when they reach Megumi, he shows them the finger, gives it to Yuji for safekeeping since he's the strongest, but it's just like, just don't eat it. But Sukuna has other plans. Sprouts a mouth on Yuji's hand and just swallows it whole. So I think he's up to four fingers now at this point, right?
Yeah.
I believe so. He's had four. So yeah. He swallows the finger whole. Above them, Akari yells at them for, you know, taking matters into their own hands, and the mission comes to an end. And as the season itself comes to a close, Gojo tries to sniff out the traitor amongst them with Mei Mei and Iori's help. Meanwhile, Megumi and Nobara discussing their discovery that all of these advanced curse activities lines up with Yuji eating the first fingers. But, you know, they want to keep that a secret for now. Sukuna is, you know, bullying Yuji as he walks through the halls, trying to make him miserable. In the second years, they're trying to train up just so they can make sure they don't fall behind this class of freshmen, because you know they're coming for him. But finally, the last thing we see is Toto and Mei Mei approaching the Kyoto principal and recommending Maki, Panda, Nobara, Megumi, and Yuji all for first grade sorcerer rankings, the second highest rank you can have as a Jujutsu sorcerer. And that's where we end season one.
Man, season one. Thank you, Rob, for Rob's recap. Jujutsu Kaisen, man. Oh, man. All right, let's get to the questions. After seeing all the cursed spirits of season one, which cursed spirit power would you want? I forgot, what was the guy's name from this one that can decay you, pretty much rot you from the inside?
Oh, that was Esso.
Yeah, Esso. I liked his. I mean, the reason why I like his a lot, because
you want to dress like him too, though?
Nah, I wouldn't dress like him. But here's the thing: I wouldn't go about it the same way. So how I would go about it, I would want his curse energy out of the curse energies. But I would go about it like I'll be like a sniper. I'll be stealth. You know what I'm saying? I'll be hiding out, and then I'll try to hit you with it. And you just like, where does this person come from? I'll be gone. I'll just dash out of there, get out as fast as possible. And you'd be like, what's happening? Whatever. And all of a sudden, you're just like, damn, I don't feel well. You just start rotting slowly, and you die. You don't ever see me. You don't know me. You don't know how it happened. That's how I would do it. I ain't gonna sit there and try to fight everybody. Like, yeah, you know what I did to you? Now your blood's rotting. You're gonna die in the next 15 to 20 minutes if you don't blah 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 blah. I'm not doing none of that shit. I'm just gonna do it on the low, on the sneak tip. I'm gonna jet up out of there. I'll be back home watching TV while you're fucking dead. It's that simple. Nice.
Gojo. I mean, not Gojo. Jogo. What is his name?
Jogo. Bobby? Like, you literally Jogo. Just you flip him, the J and the Jogo. G.
I think him. He would be mine just because he. I say this very, very loosely. He spent the most time fighting Gojo. I guess I'll say that, but he didn't give him a run for his money. He didn't test him. Gojo was not phased, but he really brought it out there, and just seeing how, like, I feel like anybody less than Gojo, that would have been a tough matchup.
Yeah, true.
And the three main people, if they would have ran into him, they would have got smoked out. I feel like Sukuna would have came through and helped out Yuji, but he's pretty dope, and I would have took his powers too because his domain expansion was pretty cool too.
Yeah, his domain was dope. Rob?
Yeah, I'm gonna copycat Ice here. Honestly, I think Jogo was probably the coolest for me for all the reasons you listed. I feel like I'm not choosing Hanami. I'll talk more about why I wouldn't choose the others. I wouldn't choose Hanami because I feel like that's, even though he's got that cool technique where he can absorb like the life of all the plants around you, that's not a guarantee everywhere you fight to be able to capitalize on something.
Bring
like
your ass
that
in a desert.
Exactly. Or I wouldn't really want to be Mahito because Mahito's power is just kind of gross. Like carrying around like desiccated, shrunken humans in his pocket is just nasty. He like would ingest them and then throw them up. I don't want that. Like that's just nasty. So I'm definitely not picking his. The one that I really that we haven't seen so far, I believe, is Dagon. The one that's the water like squid crabby thing. We've seen him kind of hanging around with the group, but we haven't seen him in a fight yet. So I'm interested to see where he could go. But as far as what I would choose based on what we've seen, Jogo 100%.
Yeah, because I think he just to me, he's just like brute strength. Like he's just a dog. But I didn't want to go Gojo because I felt like somebody was going to go with Gojo. I was thinking at least Brennan was. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I wanted to choose something else. All right, next question. When is the time your friends came through and supported you when you didn't expect or want them to? Ice.
In comedy. Kenan knows this very well. Good old Bringer shows. Bringer show is just like when you go to, as a stand-up comedian, you do a Bringer show. In order to get on stage, you have to bring at least 5 to 10 people, depending on, you know, the show. It varies. Sometimes it's 3, sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 10. It's garbage. It's absolute garbage. I hate it. I hate it in comedy. It's a hustle for sure. But, you know, it was like my first or second Bringer show. I reached out to him, did the whole post, hey, I'm doing stand up. come to my show. And, you know, none of my friends really got back to me saying that they were going to come to the show. So, you know, come the night of the show, I'm like, damn, I probably ain't going to get on stage. Because I ain't hit nobody text me saying I'm here or nothing like that. And then come to find out, they say, like, oh, you good? You great to go on the show? I'm like, wait, I got people here? They're like, yeah, you got like 15 people here. I'm like, what? And I quickly like go outside and look at the crowd, and then all my friends just like, what's up, man? You thought we wasn't gonna come, bro? Like, and I think, you know, that was a really dope moment for them, because I didn't expect them to, because, you know, that's one, it wasn't the closest to our location. I mean, where we, you know, where we lived at. Two, it was just, you know, they didn't say nothing, but yeah, I didn't expect them to when they came through.
Rob. You know, I think I mentioned before, I used to do a bunch of theater when I was living back on the East Coast, and I remember there were a couple shows I was like, oh, man, I hope nobody comes to this. And I remember there was one particular show. I was doing Alice in Wonderland, which I'm not really a fan of Alice in Wonderland in general. I know some people really love it. It's just not for me. And I remember I was playing like one of the card soldiers or something. I wasn't even like a big part or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they gave me this ridiculous costume, and they made me wear this wig that looked like Uma Thurman from Pulp Fiction. And I was like, please don't make, like, because it's supposed to be like a page boy cut or something like that for like a night, yeah, or something. But I looked absolutely ridiculous anytime I came out after the show. And I saw people who were out there. I was just like, oh my God, you didn't have to come to this one, honestly. Like, this one you could have sat out. But, you know, people showed up, people supported. We all had a good time, a good laugh about it. And I was, yeah, when talking about like the embarrassing shows I've done, that one's always top of the list.
Man, I was trying to think of one, but I got one. High school, I was in a play. I was in a Robin Hood play. And I wasn't even supposed to be in it. I was in a drama, like play production class, and then the teacher asked me to, you know, could I be in it because somebody dropped out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want anybody to come because, if one, I just felt like I was going to look like a doofus. And then this particular night, I didn't know play production was these kept for this while, but I think I don't know if I told this story or not before, but what they'll do is on one of the nights of production, they'll purposely fuck up the set. Like, they'll purposely mess up things that the people can't see, but you can see.
Huh.
So they made my table like lopsided, and then they put porn magazine, like porn, just naked chicks on my bar table. That was like the bartender that gets killed. And I was just like, you know, I act like I was watching. So when the lights came up, I was like, oh shit. And I had some people in the crowd, because I didn't want them to come to see me because I was doofus. And then that particular night they came and they did that. And I think you saw my reaction, just be like, yeah, so how's everyone doing? And you saw the other character, like the other people playing the characters, they're just like, yeah, how are they? They're even purposely messing up their lines to just fuck with me. Just like, yeah, well, we're doing okay. How are you doing over there at your bar right now? I'm just like, and they're like, what happened, Keenan? Afterwards, like, what happened, Keenan? I was just like, oh, you know, I can't believe you really talk about it like that. But, you know, I just felt, I don't know, I felt like at a certain point in time, and I've acted in plays before, but I felt like, I don't know why I felt like I would feel like it was like a doofus thing, but it's not. I was just me being embarrassed at the time of being in play production, and that's actually one of my favorite classes, so.
I hear you.
Yeah, it's
but my own insecurity. When we say, you know, when you explain somebody and you say there was a theater kid, you know exactly who.
Yeah, is. I wasn't a full-on theater kid. Yeah, I was just like, I was in a play in high school, then I was in a few plays in elementary. Yeah, but
I was definitely a theater kid. I'm probably pretty
that's
obvious.
Like the universal term, you talk to somebody and be like, well, how were they in school? They were a theater kid. Oh, okay, I get it. Like, that's all you got to say.
My lady was somewhat of a theater kid, so.
I definitely was.
Yeah.
It was because I wasn't good at sports, and that club had girls in it, so I was like, all right, I'm going to go there.
Hey, man, I heard a lot of things about theater kids, man. I heard they be getting it in, too. They be wild out in these streets.
A little bit.
Yeah, so especially when you call them whatever, nerds or geese, I heard some crazy stories about theater kids. So.
They have a good time.
Rob.
They have a good time.
You know. All right. Next question. This is a three-parter. Would you consider the baseball episode a filler? Would you tell somebody to skip it? And what activity would you have rather see them do? Rob.
You know, this was when I first watched it and I finished, I was just like, all right, well, there's our first filler episode of the season. That was my initial reaction. But just like I said when I was doing the recap, like, they found ways to make it relevant later on. And yeah. I thought that was so smart. And the fact that they even made it funny, I would pause it every time like their little stat cards came up
yeah.
with their little like, you know, little claims and facts about all the characters. I had such a fun time watching that episode that even though that's like, I feel like every anime, not every anime, a lot of animes have like a baseball episode that you're like, you can just skip it. Yeah. And honestly, I felt this was a fun episode to watch that became important later, but did I want to watch them play baseball? Not really. So if I had to pick something else, I would have rather they still kept something that was a little bit more of an individual challenge. I would have liked to have seen them take a play out of the My Hero playbook and maybe make them do like an obstacle course. You know what I mean? Mm. Like make it a race that like, you let's see which one of these students is the best of the best right now. Because certainly we have our own opinions of who was the MVP of like the group fight. But it would have been cool to see like, all right, this is the top dog of all the students right now and set that up for later.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The baseball episodes are kind of hit or miss with these anime. What was the anime that we watched? And I felt like...
That's a pun. Hit or miss.
It wasn't meant to be. But didn't we watch when we were like, and remember they kind of did like the American voices kind of like...
I think it was Samurai Champloo.
Samurai Champloo, yeah. So I remember that one. And then Dragon Ball Super had one when they played against, I think, Universe 6 or whatever. It wasn't bad. Yamcha at the end ended up, you know, throwing that pitch and we ended up in like his little hole or whatever. You know, and his natural...
And regular Dragon Ball Z had one too. That was the only time Yamcha got some shine.
Yeah, he had his shine again in this particular one, but he ended up. He actually got shine.
He was trying to be like, you know, I could show off in front of Bulma, like you know, I can finally beat Vegeta at something because he doesn't know how to play baseball,
right? So I mean, for me, I didn't like. I'm with you. I didn't feel like it was filler after I saw the episode where they kind of brought it back to where it's like, this is why. I was like, all right, that's a great way to do it. It's a great way to make the episode mean something. I wouldn't tell anybody to skip it because, like you said, it was funny. Toge getting like hit in the face with the baseball. That was just like they kept repeating it. Toto, my bad.
Nice pitch.
I just thought it was super hilarious. I would rather have seen them hoop, man. I want to see if they would be as good as Kanoko no basketball.
Yep.
I would have loved to see them play basketball, bro. Just to see if they can compete with Kanoko no basket and be like, all right, man, I would love to see like a crossover episode or something like that.
That would have been fun.
I wasn't mad. I was just like, oh, okay, this is cool. And it was, you got to learn about the characters a little bit more. You got to have them interact on a setting that was not too, you know, crazy. Their stakes wasn't so big. I think too, what I like about it too, is I would have them do instead. I think it would just be silly. Like, I forgot the name of that anime and we gave it a hard time, but whatever that anime was that we watched when we were looking at the greatest fight scenes of that year, and then it was like them two girls on the bed of the water, and they was like...
That's right. I do remember that.
That staring contest or something. It was something stupid.
Was it rock, paper, scissors or something like that?
They were trying to like make each other like look the other way or something like
that. Oh, that game? Yeah.
I think it was something like that, or it might have been... It was something, but I think something one-on-one that's silly like that to hype it up. It's like, if you're going to go silly... Which they did go silly, but if you're going to go silly, like, if this is a filler episode, like, double down. Like, double down, and then just make this filler the silliest 20 minutes that you can possibly be. And just, like, whoever your funny guy is in the writing room is like, hey, what's something you've been trying to do all season and couldn't do? Like, oh, I want to do this. All right, cool, let's do it. And then just make it over the top. But no, I didn't see it as filler, and then the callback was great. That was a great callback, and it was also a cool callback, too, because, like, Yuji hitting that home run is not, like, plot armor or character development or something out of the blue. Because if you remember the first couple episodes, like, Yuji's a dog athlete. Like, he's a dog.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that wasn't like give him the win because, you know, he's the main character. It's like, no, he was a dog out the gate. And this is just reminding you, like, hey, he's physically gifted even before the curses.
True.
So would you tell somebody to skip it?
No.
Okay. Next question. Earlier in the season, like the first episode, I believe, when we first did this, I asked, who was your early favorite of the show? Do you remember who your early favorite was? And is it still who it is now? And if not, who is it? I believe I said, I'm bad with the name of this one.
I think you said Nobara.
Dude, the dogs?
Did you say Megumi? Oh, okay. Yeah. I think you might have said Nobara, but
I actually might have said Gojo. I think I said Gojo. Yeah, okay. I said Gojo.
I think all of us except one person said Gojo.
Yeah, I said Gojo.
I think that's true, actually.
He's not anymore. I like him. He's a very strong character. He's funny as hell in this. He has a lot of fun. He doesn't take himself too serious. This is hard, man. This show has some of the best characters that I've seen that we watch on this podcast.
Very much.
I like a lot of characters on here, but I would have to go with Toto because, dude, man, he was just cracking me up, getting hit with the pitch, and then he's a monster. Like, he's no joke to play with when it comes to fighting. You know, I enjoyed him. I just feel like I guess I can get to the my predictions when we get to that portion of the question, but. But I would go with him. I think he is. I don't think you can go wrong with any character. I think a lot of characters are super dope on here. Like, I can see somebody, like, I can see Yuji not being a lot of people's favorite character because he's cool, but there's a lot more. I feel like there's a lot of other funny people. There's other powers that are doper. I don't know. Ice?
Toge. I think Toge is my favorite because, you know, Gojo's the man. Like, that's just inevitable. I feel like. That's the low-hanging fruit, so I'm just going to leave that alone because it's easy to say. Because that was my favorite in the beginning because of, you know, multiple reasons that I stated earlier in the episodes. But, yeah, I think Toge, that's the one I'm most interested in seeing.
One that talks?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's dope. He's super dope.
I like him. I like him a lot. And granted, he got smoked out by Hanami, but I feel like that's going to, like, push him. And I do feel like him seeing what Yuji and everybody else is doing is going to push him as well. And I do think at some point, maybe not season two, maybe not even season three, but at some point in the story, he's going to be one of those people where it's like he had a moment or a stretch of episodes or a big part of the season where it's like, oh my God, Toge shut everything down. Like, everybody going to be desolate, fucked up, and then Toge going to save the day with his voice or something like that. Or he going to learn something where he don't even have to open his mouth or something. Like, he going to learn some elevated version of his technique and then just like shut everything down and help everybody out.
Yeah, we just don't know to what the extent of it is, because if he can just say die and you can die, I wonder, can he do something like that?
I think they said that, like, if it's a more powerful word that it can even like reflect back on him though.
Oh,
and it's like
shit.
The more powerful the word is, the more strain it is for him to give the command. So they kind of had to not necessarily nerf him, but they had to give like a little bit of a limitation, especially for like a student at this point.
That's why he was like throwing up blood or whatever the case may be. Okay, got it. That's not bad. He was up there. He's in my top three, so I get it.
Yeah.
Rob?
I think I was the one that had somebody different the first one. I think I said Megumi, and I think at that point everybody else was saying Gojo, but he's not my favorite anymore. And I had a similar problem to you, Kenan. Like, everybody on the show is likable, and I wouldn't be mad at anybody for choosing literally anybody on the show. For me, I like Toge's powers. Like, I find his the most interesting, but I think my favorite character to like watch when he's on screen is actually Kento, the like blonde teacher dude with like the glasses.
Oh yeah.
Because he had those moments, like both when he faced Mahito on his own, and you thought like, oh man, this guy's done. And then he went into overtime, and you were like, oh, like he's got another level. Like, he's got brains. And like when he and like Yuji fought Mahito together. That's like that scene that everybody shares of them just absolutely whooping his ass.
Yeah, it was one of the classic scenes. Yep.
Right now he's tied with Yuji for consecutive Black Flash user. Yeah. So he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. And I dig his attitude. Like, I love his no shit, no fucks given like approach to everything. He just makes me laugh. Like, even when Yuji's just like, all right, cool, like I'll do it. I'll be there like all the way. Just like, you don't need to do all that. Just give what you need, and that'll be fine. I love that. That's so fun to me.
I mean, that's a great point about you guys. Like, most animes, you say a character's name, and your face go all types of crazy, like, Sakura? What the hell? What?
At least
that's your favorite character. Like, it's just some characters you say, and people just fall out their seat. But, like, with this one, you say 9 times out of 10, somebody you say, you're going to be like, all right, even if that's not your person, you're like, I can see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe things will change when you get to season 3 or 4 of this show, because people will be trash at that point. But after this season one, I was just like, there was like literally like 7 to like maybe 10 characters that I was just like, damn, I like a lot of these people.
Yeah.
So, only ones was like the broom lady. She was kind of trash.
Yeah.
And then the girl that had passed out, like, I put to sleep.
Passed out. She was trash.
And like the old man principal with the guitar, like, wasn't great.
But But even the other, who was the other principal or the other guy that's like, he could turn the stuffed animals.
Oh,
into,
yeah.
He's dope as hell, too.
He's Panda's dad.
That's Panda's papa right there.
Yeah, he's a good dad, too.
Yeah. All right. So next question. This is actually Brennan's question. Yeah. And this is
bitch ass Brennan.
It'll tie into the next question after that too. How does this show rank after season one of anime that you've watched? I guess I'll go first. This ranks pretty high, man. This is for me. I love this season one, Demon Slayer season one, and Promised Neverland season one. Those are three season ones that I really, really love. I mean, Full Metal.
Yeah.
Shit. This will be in my top 10 for sure. This might even be lower than that. I probably gotta go back and rewatch the other ones myself. But even when I watched Promised Neverland, it's like it's totally different anime. But I was like, that shit was just so deep. And this show right here gave me everything I wanted. It gave me enough action that I wanted. It gave me mad characters. It gave me, I feel like, a good story. It gave me risk. I watched this season again, to be honest. I can watch this season again and not, you know, sometimes I can watch the season, but it was dope. Would you watch it again? No, I wouldn't watch it again.
Like, I wouldn't watch Iron Blooded Orphans again.
Season one, absolutely no. Even season two, I wouldn't watch again.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. But I just wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah. was something I watched in that moment. It was straight. But this has a lot more rewatch value than a lot of other season ones that I've seen.
True.
Rob?
Yeah, I think it's tough to find a lot of shows that have a better season one than this one. Like, I would say for me, maybe Full Metal, like, is probably up there for me. Maybe Mob Psycho season one right after that.
That was dope. Yeah.
And then after that, it might be this. Like, I think it's got a slight edge over Demon Slayer because, like, they're right there. But I think this is, like, you know, like, where if Demon Slayer's like a 9, this is like a 9.5. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. It's just every episode is good. It's funny. There's action in just about every episode. And even their filler episode is a fun episode to watch.
Yeah.
That even if I rewatch it, I probably wouldn't even skip that episode just because there's little funny moments in there. This is definitely a great first season. And the fact that we had both this and Demon Slayer kind of come out within the last couple years. Within this last year, it shows you that, you know, we've got a lot of great projects. I think this is up there.
Yeah. One Punch Man too.
One Punch Man too. Yeah. Did we say Vinland Saga? Did anybody say Vinland Saga yet?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I was about to
say. Oh, my bad. Not to step on your toes.
Thanks, Rob.
Sorry. I said sorry.
But that's in the,
I had Mob Psycho. I'm like, Mob Psycho. And you said, I'm like, oh, Vinland Saga. Oh, Vinland Saga.
Well, go ahead, Ice.
But yeah, I think that it's up there for sure. It's definitely in the conversation. I like this first season more than I like Demon Slayer. I think between them, Demon Slayer, Vinland Saga, they're going to change the face of anime and what anime is and how we approach anime. And with the demographic, you know, getting older, not saying people back in the 80s and 90s didn't have time, but the time, like, we don't have that type of time that they had in the early 80s and 90s. Like, they spent a lot of their time not like how we spend it. We have so much more to do. I feel like even the more casual.
Our attention span is also shorter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the main thing.
It's a lot of content out there competing, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. So I do think, like, somebody made this point the other day. It's just like when people will watch TV, they were talking about the Oscars. There's like, nobody cares about the Oscars no more. But back in the day, you only had like 4 or 5 channels to watch. And the Oscars, like, everybody sat around the TV and watched it. And the same thing, like, any TV show, everybody sat around the TV and watched it, whether you wanted to watch it or not. So I think with how stuff is going, to Rob's point, where there's just so much media out there, whether on TV, on your phones, on your iPad or laptop or whatever, the new anime is going to be shorter. Seasons, you're going to get full seasons of episodes, like the whole series is going to be one season. And I'm here for it. If it's going to be like a Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm here for it. And as far as where is it ranked, I would put it under both Vinland Saga and Mob Psycho, but it's there. Like, if you had it above both of those, like, I'm not going to be up in arms.
Yeah,
fair.
So to continue to go into Ice's question, do you believe that an anime could be the GOAT could be in the GOAT conversation after one season?
Only way I feel like it can be in the GOAT conversation is if it's done. If the show is completely done in that first season, like a Kill la Kill or something like that. Not saying Kill la Kill is the GOAT because it's not, but if it's the whole season is done in one season, then you can put it in the conversation because that's all it has to offer. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
But if it's one season and then there's more and the manga's not done or whatever, it's just like you can't yet. That's like somebody having, you know, being rookie of the year and then be like, okay, are they going to be in the Hall of Fame? It's like they had a fantastic rookie year. Even if they got defensive player of the year, Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, you know, MVP. They won a title. Like, that's awesome. That's a phenomenal first year. But if that's it, when the GOAT conversation come up, you will get mentioned, and then your name will come up as fast as it goes away. So I think it's the same thing with Tua. It's just like, hey, that's a great start. But you can very much, you know, fall off the totem pole if you have a bad second or third season. And I feel like animes have suffered from that. But, you know, I don't think just if you just for one season, unless the anime is finished, you can't be in a GOAT conversation.
Right.
Yeah. I really got to agree with Ice pretty much point for point. Like, he literally was kind of taking the words right out of my mouth. Like, it feels like a good rookie season. And as great of a rookie season as this is, I'm not ready to give this like a 9,000, you know, spoilers for my ranking. I'm not ready to say this is one of the GOATs yet. It certainly has the potential to be.
Yeah.
Certainly has the potential to be. I almost feel like you have to talk about those one season shows, even sometimes a little bit separately from these shows that go on for multiple seasons, just because, you know, like a show like Naruto or, you know, Dragon Ball Z or even like Full Metal Alchemist, you're going to meet so many characters that are, have so many different like journeys and, you know, the depth of their character. Can, like, some of those like payoffs at the end of Full Metal Alchemist have been like building up for seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And true. So like, so to compare that to something like a Cowboy Bebop, like again, just like a one season show that get a lot of people have as like their favorite or, you know, in their tops or whatever. Like, it's just different. Like, they deal with a lot of deep concepts and talk about a lot of cool things, but it's tough to have one season and be considered the greatest of all time in anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think Ice kind of said in the sense of like, if you're comparing the one seasons, I think if you're comparing the one seasons to each other, just, and they're just one offs and that's it. Like, I know a lot of people say, you know, they get on us about Samurai Champloo, but there's a good amount of people out there that feel like that's one of the greatest animes of all time. And, you know, after one season, I can see that if you're comparing it to the Bebops, to the other one seasoners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, there's nothing that's going to satisfy you more than when you're having a buildup. Then when you're like something from season two now gets to season three, and it's like all this finally came back around. He finally fights that person that he couldn't beat for three or four seasons. He finally gets to win, and it's gonna be a whole different ball game. So can it be considered a GOAT? I get why somebody says it can, but I don't know if I've watched a one season anime that I would consider the GOAT or in a top five in my GOAT conversation. Yeah. I get Bebop being there for people, but for me personally, yeah, nah. Next question. Do you have any predictions for the future seasons? Any character deaths or big reveals, Rob?
All right. So at this point, I have two predictions that I think will get revealed maybe in the near future, maybe in the next season, but also, like, I feel like these are one of these is like, I think they're going to reveal this soon, and the other is going to be like, I feel like this is an eventuality.
Did you read the manga?
I have not read the manga. I have no idea if this is true.
Got it.
I feel like, number one, I did kind of spoil something for myself, but I'm not going to get into that. Number one, I think Todo is going to die. I think Todo is going to get killed at some point.
Wow.
I think, especially because of that baseball episode showing you everybody doesn't like this guy, I think that kind of, for, and especially that we've seen he's so powerful, especially even on his own, I think this dude at some point has some kind of knockdown drag out fight where he either sacrifices himself or kind of lays himself down on the line, and basically
what's
everybody's
up, Goku?
Yeah, like something like where it's just like, you know, everybody kind of ends up having like a change of opinion on this dude, where before everybody's just like, man, what an obnoxious asshole. But by the end, they kind of have to come back around on him and be like, you know, he was an asshole, but when push came to shove, he was a good guy. I think that's eventually what's going to happen with Todo. My other big prediction, and again, I have no idea. So we've heard about the Zenin clan, and now we've heard about the Noritoshi clan. I don't think we've heard about what this third clan is yet. And I think we're going to find out that Yuji is actually a descendant of that third clan.
Mm.
Because as his grandfather was dying on his deathbed, in the first episode, he's like, I got to tell you something about your parents. And Yuji just is like, turns around and is like, yeah, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And his granddad actually never gets to tell him what it was.
Mm.
And I think he was probably going to reveal to him something important about his parents being either Jujutsu sorcerers or something like that. Because I don't know how else you explain the just incredible strength Yuji has for no reason.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we see, you know, Maki's got a similar thing where we don't even know if Yuji could or could not see curses before the fact. But Maki has that, like, Maki and her sister, like, they kind of are, like, split, you know, each one of them has, like, one of those, like, the things that Jujutsu sorcerers are supposed to have. One has, like, super strength, the other can see curses and fight against curses and use curse energy. And I think we're going to see that Yuji actually ended up having that potential all along, rather than just being like, oh, he swallowed a finger and something just worked. I think we're going to find out that, like, no, he's somebody important somewhere down the line.
Mm, damn, you hurt me with that Toto thing.
I'm sorry, man.
Because that I can see that. I can kind of see that probably being where Yuji, that happens in front of Yuji, and he sacrifices himself to save Yuji, and then he just goes overtime. Like, he goes into his bag to where he just, like, whatever power he needed to get to that next level, that's his Goku Krillin moment to where he goes and blasts off and does what he needs to do to win the fight that they probably wasn't going to win at first.
Yeah.
My prediction, I guess I just have not necessarily a small one, but just one prediction. I think Gojo's going to take an L, man. I think Gojo, not in these next seasons. It's going to be a while.
Not soon.
Not soon. But I think at some point he's going to meet his match, and he's going to lose, and that's where you're going to see Yuji probably take the step above him to be the strongest out of everybody. So I don't know who's going to do it. I don't think we met this person yet. This person might not even exist in the manga yet. It might still have to wait to be created. But I think at some point, Gojo is going to take an L. I don't know if he's going to die, but I just think he might take an L. Might probably even have fun with it. It's like, wow, you know, I lost.
I really am trapped in here, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It could be a moment like that to where, like, yeah, he loses in the sense where he just gets trapped and is just like, I'm helpless here. Like, shit, this was me not being as smart as I thought I was, and I got to take this L. Ice.
I think that Sukuna is going to get all his fingers and toes and all that stuff, and then he's going to fight Gojo, and that's going to be Gojo's match.
Certainly.
Sukuna, because he even said it, because I think it's kind of foreshadowing. It's like, okay, if I get all, if he gets for this full power, will you still beat him? He's like, yeah, I'll beat him. Like, but I think that was kind of a foreshadowing for a later battle, that Sukuna versus Gojo. And I think Sukuna's going to come out on top, because at that time, Yuji's power is going to be so elevated that it's not like he's just fighting Sukuna. It's like he's fighting Yuji and Sukuna with their powers. So that's going to, you know, beat out Gojo's powers. And Gojo's going to have a tough time. And it's going to come down to either Gojo having to kill Yuji, which is Sukuna, or Sukuna and Yuji, you know, having to kill Gojo. One of those two are going to die, and they're going to die by each other's hands.
Yeah, to go off what you're saying, I think Gojo might lose that, not for not being strong enough, but that he doesn't want to kill Yuji. That's what I would think. If that scenario kind of happens, like, I don't want to kill this kid. And because I know he's still in there. And then hopefully he's just kind of one of those, just fight him off. You can fight him off from the inside or that, whatever it may be. Yeah.
Thank you, G.
Yeah. Yep. And then he just overpowers him. And all of a sudden he can suppress him back down. And then blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I can see that happening. So this is the last question. Rob just wrote it in. What was your favorite after credit sequence, Rob?
So this one actually, there were two that kind of went together that ended up being my favorite. And the first one started out when they were asking, like, everybody if they were, like, a dog or cat person, and Panda's, like, in the background. That's not my favorite one. But my favorite one is the second time they did that. It was like, are you a rice or a bread person?
Yeah.
And Panda still gets upset, and he's still in the background just like, oh, I can't believe, like, the correct answer is Panda. And it's just like, they literally said at the end of it, like, we ran out of ideas. We had no idea what to do. We ran out of ideas of what to do with these actors' credit sequences, so you wound up with this one. And Kenan, like, I wouldn't have even known about these if you hadn't given me the heads up. And I'm so glad I went back to check them out.
Oh, they're so fun, man. I mean, I would just go with the soccer playing one again, because that was one of the ones that caught me and made me legit crack up, where they're just playing soccer with Jogo. Was it Jogo's head?
Yeah, Jogo's head.
Jogo's head. And just like, he's just taking it. It's like, oh, you bastards. Oh, you awful. Fuck you and fuck you. And he just had to eat that. And they're just having fun playing with it. I mean, also, too, kind of the one when they were kind of like dressed up as cheerleaders is just so ridiculous. It's like, why are they doing this? This is so silly. So it's like they have fun with these, and I appreciate that they actually have fun with these like that. Ice.
Mine's is one of the from this stretch, from this four, when Megumi was talking to that girl, and it was like, oh shit, Megumi's talking to that girl. We gotta run.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they ran up saying that, like, Yuji was Yuji and what's her name?
Nobara.
Nobara, yeah.
Nobara was just acting like they were so in love with him. And then here comes fucking Gojo. Just like, you have piano practice with me. What are you doing? And he was just like, and then it come to find out he was just giving her directions, like he wasn't even talking to her like that. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, so ridiculous, but so fun. All right, that's the end of the question portion of the show. Let's get into our likes and dislikes. Ho-ass Brennan did not send a scoring. I'm sure we'll get it at some point. Well, yeah, I guess when you guys are going over yours, I'll try to text him and see if he has a score. But, yeah, man, likes, dislikes, scores. Go ahead, Ice. Go ahead, man.
Contrary to popular belief, I liked this show, man. I liked it. It was fun. I understand the hype. Now, when I give my score, I just want to say I understand the hype. I do not feel like anybody overhyped this show. I feel like there was a lot of hype surrounding it, and I feel like it lived up to that. But at the same time, I do think that it took the last four episodes. It didn't hurt, but it didn't help, and I never felt like they were in danger in those last four episodes. And to go out like that, like, I want to watch the next season off of the strength of the 20 episodes prior. Those last four episodes did not make me want to watch the next season. Just for them to lead off, obviously, if you're here now, you know it's spoilers. for them to lead off with the gang, just like, we got our next mission. And then, like, that didn't do it for me. I want a Tokyo Ghoul-esque ending where it's like, all right, something about to happen. Somebody about to turn up. Something's about to get lit. Or a Vinland Saga. Esque ending where it's like season shoot, you know what, I gotta read the manga because I'm not about to wait for, you know, for the anime to be made. And I feel like these four episodes didn't do that for me, but I do want to read the manga, and I'm going to read the manga just because, like, the first 20 episodes did something to me to where it's like, okay, this is something here. It didn't fully flesh it out to its max, but it had a lot of potential, and it's a really good show. Dislikes, just overall for these four episodes, again, just the point that it didn't really, you know, roll its way into the second season. But overall, dislikes is I feel like it struggled at times building its own identity. But if you take a step back and look at it, it did somewhat of a good job. I think it's going to get more intricate and more of itself in these second and third seasons. But overall, I think that you can tell that this person, the young guy, is a young guy and is very heavily influenced by a multitude, not just Naruto, like people trying to say, a multitude of different animes. Good, lived up to the hype. For these stretch of episodes, I give it a 6,600. And then overall for a show, I give it a 7,000.
Right. Yeah, I also agree that this last four was not its strongest stretch. As much as I enjoyed the episodes, it just felt like we came to such a, like, fever pitch with how the, you know, group battle ended with Hanami showing up and people going in and seeing Yuji and Toto, like, kicking ass and all that. That to kind of go to this, like, you know, Nobara, Megumi, Yuji, they all had their moments, like, the, you know, whether it was unlocking the, you know, curse domain or both Yuji and Nobara being able to land, like, Black Flash stuff. Like, obviously, I see why they wanted to kind of set that up and why that's important. But it didn't feel like the stakes were as high. It just kind of felt like, all right, it's a little tacked on. And to the point where even those two curses that they fought feel a little pointless, if I'm being honest. I'm glad they had the fight. I'm glad, you know, it was fun to watch. It just didn't feel consequential at the end of things. And felt also like the fact that his sister was double cursed just felt like a little, all right, whatever, if you say so. It I'll go with it to get along, but, like, it didn't feel as fleshed out as some of the rest of the show. But what I did like about this stretch of episodes is kind of that last episode where everybody had their moment. You know, glad to see Megumi getting his due and kind of getting able to get a W, unlike so many other shows where only the main character gets a win. Right. Or even Nobara getting her moment because she definitely is dope. She's not being relegated to a side character. She's kind of doing her thing and finding her own way to shine. Yeah, so for this stretch of episodes, I'd probably give like a 75. I think that's a bit below what I've been giving. But overall, the show, really good. I feel like it's, like I was saying, like one of the strongest first seasons I've seen of anything. The characters are top-notch. Like, some of the, like, best, like, as far as like bang for your buck, some of the best characters for the amount of characters they have. My one complaint would be, like, sometimes, especially doing the recaps, I felt it was very, like, the world is very rules heavy, if that makes any sense. It felt like every episode they had to explain another aspect of, like, curse energy and curse jujutsu stuff, and I'm just like, oh man, like, this is like another level to this thing, which can enhance, but for me, I felt it kind of bogged the story down at times, and it felt like, oh man, I'm getting like a lot of exposition right now. But it's a fun show. It's so well written. It's so entertaining. Definitely up there. I'm gonna give the season an 8,000 as a total.
All right. I go with my dislike first. I mean, I agree with Ice. I feel like ending this and Rob, ending this these last four off, I felt like I wanted something to lead into season two, to where I was just like, all right, either somebody either gets either a new villain emerges that we know about. It was like, all right, they're going to be super strong, or whatever this mission is, we get to know about it. It's like, oh shit, somebody might possibly die or something. Some type of risk that's coming up for season two. That definitely impacted my score for these four. Favorite part, what's his name?
Nobara.
Nobara. Yes. I told you, motherfuckers, don't underestimate her. I loved her moment. She literally had the two best moments in these four to me, where she I love the other dude's his moment too. Megumi's moment also, but hers, whether it's like when she would just start stabbing herself with the nails, just kind of like, bitch, I will kill myself, or I would do whatever I got to do until you feel this pain and let this shit go. And I'm going to do it. Yep. So either do it or not. Figure it out. And then they switch. She ended up killing the brother. And she pretty much dealt the main blow, I think. Like, I guess, you know, Yuji dealt the final blow. But if it wasn't for her, like, I don't want to say it wasn't for her, but I like that moment when she saw his arm and ground was kind of like looking like, yeah, bitch. Yeah. He's like, oh, what? Oh, yeah. Sorry. See you later. And then stabbed his arm open. He was done for. That was my favorite moment, just her bossing up. In general and collectively, like, this whole season, man, I enjoyed the hell out of it. There was never really a dull moment for me. I enjoyed it. I laughed. I laughed at the after credits. I laughed during the show. I loved how it got dark and then funny, then dark again. There's stakes. For me, overall, I would give this show an 8,300. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Did I get my score for this?
No, not the stretch.
My bad. Now, this is not going to I don't know if it's going to make sense for, like, my overall score. But I would give the score for this for a 7,300 because I agree with you. That really did kind of impact the score, where it was just like, bruh, there's no stakes going into season two. But, like, you got our next mission. Season two, we're going in happy. It's like, nah, man, we should go in there knowing, like, yo, there's a new villain or somebody emerging. Like, yeah.
Hey, I'm Talon, and this is Rumpus, and I'm going to show you how to start.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That was, I don't know if it's going to show up in the audio, but it's like, that was some random shit, like an ad or something. But yeah, that's 73 for these four, 83 overall. Brendan said he didn't watch, so he doesn't have his score for this. I don't know. He has an overall score, at least for the 20 that he watched. But yeah, man, I'm recommending this. I'm definitely. I'm hyped. I'm like, yo, man, if you want to see one of the best animes in like the past 5 or so years, this is one of them right here. Definitely watch it. It's worth it. I guarantee you it's not going to be overhyped, because people said it was dope as hell, and I watched it and it lives up to whatever the fuck it was. So
yeah,
all in, man.
Absolutely lived up to the hype.
So yeah, man, that's it for this episode. What do y'all think? What are y'all scores, man? And leave a comment in the comment section about what y'all think your scores were, and answer the questions. We might be doing something a little different coming up soon, man, with the show. We're gonna probably watch Yusuke, and then, you know, we might change up a little something, man. We'll see. We'll see what's up. The gang is gonna do something super dope, so the podcast will continue with anime, but we might switch up the format a little bit, man. So
yeah.
All right, wanna drop your stuff, guys? Ice.
Ice.McGowan on everything. Nice bitch.
what's Brennan's stuff again? Brennan's that guy?
At Brennan the best or
at
something?
Brennan's the bitch.
At Brennan's a hoe. at Brennan the best on his social media platforms. Rob?
Yeah, RV Danger on Instagram.
Animation, SHUN podcast on every single thing. Keenan Baker on everything, man. It was, thank y'all for tuning in every week to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.